The opinions expressed in this show are the views of the host and not necessarily that of WTRW, 94.3 The Talker, or the Bold Gold Media Group.
All Century 21 real estate offices are independently owned and operated.
Good morning. Welcome to the Real Estate Roundtable with Century 21 Jack Ruddy Real Estate on 94.3 FM The Talker. I'm Jackie Ruddy, broker and owner, in with my husband, fellow realtor Pat Devaney.
Good morning, Jackie.
Good morning. And our guest, Mark Seitzinger, Director of Licensing, Inspections, and Permits, and the Building Code Official for the City of Scranton. Good morning.
Good morning.
Thanks for coming back.
Absolutely, anytime.
We appreciate it. Our Century 21 Quality Service Award-winning office has many experienced realtors. We have been listing and selling real estate for over 40 years. We are here every Saturday and Sunday discussing various real estate topics. You can feel free to
email us at questions@jruddy.com. That's questions@jruddy.com. Or you can call us toll-free at 888-399-JACK. That's 888-399-5225.
Or find us on Facebook at Jack Ruddy. Or view our listings or search the MLS by going to jruddy.com. That's jruddy.com. Before we talk to Mark, I'd like to make an announcement. Governor Tom Corbett signed into law in late June to ban private transfer fees. Private transfer fees are part of a covenant attached to a property deed that forces the seller to pay 1% of the purchase price to private third-party entities every time the property sells over the next 99 years. These fees cost unsuspecting homeowners thousands of dollars in additional closing costs. We just became the 28th state to ban these private transfer fees. This is a consumer protection law that ensures that home buyers do not get more than they bargain for when they buy a new home. In some states, this obligation isn't even included in the closing papers and doesn't require a signature. Yet, it allows a person with no ownership interest in the property to collect revenue. Private transfer fees were unfair to the home buyer and home seller and would have only hurt the real estate industry, which is trying to make a recovery. Home buyers were unaware this fee even existed. This was a fight that lasted almost a year, but it concluded in a victory for PA home buyers and sellers. And thank you to all who fought hard to ban these fees. Okay, Mark Seitzinger, Director of Licensing, Inspections, and Permits, and our Building Code Official in the City of Scranton. Welcome back. And last week we were talking about licensing, inspections, permits, and you know, I realized there were some things we didn't go over that we'd like to ask you about, especially the inspection process. Pat?
Oh, it was about inspections. So we were talking about how many units, say I have a two-unit, does that have to be registered? Like I live in one side and I rent out the other, and does that side have to be inspected?
Technically, yes. The property that you do not live in, as long as you're renting it out, does need to be registered under the City of Scranton laws. File of Council 105 of 2007, which is our rental registration ordinance, it does need to be registered in the City of Scranton and inspected.
So if I have a single family home and I don't live there and I rent that out, I have to register my house too?
Yes.
Wow. And you come in and inspect it?
Yes.
Oh my goodness. I didn't know that.
We have a lot of inspections to do.
Lots of inspections.
Wow. So you're busy.
Yeah, all the time.
I'd like to talk to you about blight issues. What are blight issues? What is considered a blight issue? Please.
Blight issues can be anything from high grass to rubbish and garbage on a property, upholstered furniture outside.
On porches.
On porches or in the front lawn, abandoned vehicles in your lot.
Tires.
Tires, garbage, anything that is unsightly.
Retaining walls falling down.
That could be too.
Wow. Everything.
Okay, so what do you do when you come across a blight issue?
Well, we work in conjunction with the police department on a lot of these issues. Under our codes and our laws for the department, we have to give an owner proper notification before we can issue a citation on a property owner for high grass, garbage, etc. The police department, which works in conjunction with us on these things, they don't have to give prior notification to the property owner for high grass garbage. They can issue a citation on the spot. Unfortunately, a lot of times it takes for a citation to be issued in order for the homeowner to comply with the request. From our office, we normally give a 48-hour notice to remove the violation, and then it goes away. If they don't remove the violation at that point, we're left with no option but to seek legal action against them, which would be going to magistrate's court.
Okay. So a few things come to mind when you're talking about blight issues. One being the fact that when we as realtors list a property in the city of Scranton, which is unoccupied, vacant, and the neighbors don't know where the property owner has moved to, and they don't have a phone number or any way of contacting them, oftentimes we get the call.
Oftentimes?
Yes. We get the call. Okay, can you please give us the number of so-and-so? No, we don't. You know, right. We can't provide that information, nor do we. We're a real estate office. We list and sell homes, and that's what we do. We don't cut lawns and cut shrubs and so on and so forth. So a lot of times people, though, because they have no one else to vent to, call us and sometimes yell and scream. And sometimes your office also has, but sometimes somebody from your office will call us and ask us those questions too. So what do you tell the public about these blight issues and if you can't find the owner?
That's where the public has to be a little bit patient with us. Sometimes it takes us longer to find the owner. Sometimes it takes us longer to find the mortgage company, because we will exhaust every avenue we can to find somebody to rectify the problem. So sometimes it might take us a month. It might take us 2 months by the time we get somebody to rectify the problem. But the biggest thing is just be patient with us. We know it's not a nice thing to live next to. You know, the simplest solution would be, say, go cut the neighbor's grass. I can't recommend that to a neighbor.
No,
I can't tell a neighbor to go on to
right.
a neighbor's property and do that. They're trespassing. You know, some have taken it upon themselves to do that kind of thing. There's nothing we can do about that. But just be patient with us. We do try to find every avenue and travel every avenue we can to get it rectified
for
them.
Well, in a lot of cases, you're right. A bank owns the property. And they're out in Texas, California, New Jersey. And
we just had this happen, right? There was a bank-owned property and a tree fell down in the backyard. And the people were calling us, wanting us to remove the tree that fell onto their fence from the foreclosed property. We can't do that.
No, that's where sometimes it gets really difficult, because you're dealing with banks in California, Texas, Washington, wherever they may be. They're looking at it saying, oh, it's Scranton, where's that? They don't even know what property it is at that point. So trying to get them to rectify the problem and understand what the problem is sometimes just takes a little bit longer than if the owner was available to rectify it.
Right, right. And I know. And then, but the sellers that have moved out of the area, and I'm still dealing with a seller, an owner, a previous owner occupant, they usually, you know, get right on it. But a lot of time, money's tight. So sometimes they don't always have the means to go right. do it. But it is a touchy situation. So I've come across that. What about snow, removal of snow? Do you have an ordinance that you have to remove it in so many days off the sidewalks?
Well, I hope it doesn't snow this summer. That's number one. But yes,
we
do have an ordinance on the books, basically telling every property owner in the city of Scranton that within 24 hours of the last snowfall, your sidewalks need to be cleared of all snow and ice. I think the misconception that a lot of owners have is that they own the sidewalks, they can do what they want with them. Sidewalks are technically owned by the city of Scranton. They're maintained by the property owner. It's a public right-of-way. So they have to make sure that the sidewalks are clear and free of snow 24 hours after the last snowfall so that people can walk up and down the sidewalks.
Do you have a lot of problems with that?
Every year.
Mm-hmm.
We get it every year. And 99% of the time, we get complaints from the Postal Service. They'll call us
sure.
and say, we can't go down the sidewalk because there's
treacherous.
3 feet of snow. We've had some incidents last year with a couple of postal workers in South Scranton getting hurt by vehicles because they couldn't walk on the sidewalks. Mm. They had to walk out in the street and, you know, one unfortunately got hit by a car. And they're okay now, but we had to take it to the next step and make sure that, you know, the homeowner was aware of the law that we have in place to make sure that this sort of thing doesn't happen again.
Did you find them?
I believe we did take them to court for not having it done. I think it was a $300 fine.
Okay, so it's a significant fine.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I understand. How about garbage cans? Can you put them out? Is there a rule, a requirement, a law that says you can't put them out so many hours before garbage pickup or
yes.
days or what's
yes.
that?
Yes, garbage rule is you cannot put your garbage cans out for removal more than 24 hours in advance of your garbage day. So if your garbage day is a Wednesday like mine is, I can't put my garbage out on Monday. I have to put it out Tuesday night, you know, and basically take the cans back in no later than Thursday.
Wow. Okay. I don't know if a lot of people are aware of these.
Most aren't.
No.
And
no.
About the grass, how big does the grass have to be?
Grass cannot be higher than 10 inches. So anything over 10 inches high has to be cut.
And we were discussing this. Why is that?
Well, when you have high grass, it and it's over that 10-inch threshold, it basically gives you the situation where it's kind of a harborage for rodents. It's a harborage for rats, woodchucks, snakes, whatever the case in point may be, skunks, which is, you know, not something that anybody wants around their house. So that's why we, you know, the law states you can't have it any more than 10 inches high.
Okay. You are listening to the Real Estate Roundtable with Century 21 Jack Ruddy Real Estate on 94.3 FM, The Talker. And here today with us is Mark Seitzinger, Director of Licensing, Inspections, and Permits, and also Building Code Official for the City of Scranton. And a lot of good discussion today, Mark. We're headed towards the break. Before we do, let's review a listing, please.
Pat? Okay. I have a beautiful home at 108 Oak Hill Drive in Archibald. It's listed for $375,000. It's a three-bedroom, three-and-a-half-bath, beautiful house. It's an amazing contemporary in the hills of Archibald on a very private lot with a second-floor laundry, master bedroom, a 16-by-7 deck overlooking the pool. It's got some great views. It's got a heated in-ground pool, which is 41 foot by 19 with a concrete surround, a gas fireplace in the family room, a Viking six-burner gas stove. I could cook a lot on that, let me tell you. Vaulted ceilings in the living room, plenty of windows make this a very bright and happy home. That's 108 Oak Hill Drive in the hills of Archibald. Three bedrooms, three and a half baths for $375,000.
Thanks, Pat. And a reminder, if you would like to hear a certain topic discussed, please feel free to email us
at questions@jruddy.com. That's questions@jruddy.com.
It's break time. Please stay with us. We will be back in just a few moments with more Real Estate Roundtable with Century 21 Jack Ruddy Real Estate on 94.3 FM, The Talker. I'm Jackie Ruddy, broker of Century 21 Jack Ruddy Real Estate. When opportunity knocks, you want to be ready. At Century 21 Jack Ruddy Real Estate, we have an exceptional understanding of the real estate market. With over 40 years experience, we make sure when you walk through our door, you will be given the highest level of service. Century 21 Jack Ruddy Real Estate can help smooth the way when things get complicated. You need the real estate representation you deserve, and Century 21 Jack Ruddy Real Estate can deliver.
Hi, I'm Pat Devaney, and I'm a realtor with Century 21 Jack Ruddy Real Estate. We will guide you during every step. Call us today for any questions. Whether you are buying or selling, call 570-344-6724. That's 344-6724. Friend us on Facebook or visit jruddy.com. And don't forget to tune into the Real Estate Roundtable Saturdays at 11 a.m. and Sundays at 11:30.
When selling your property with Century 21 Jack Ruddy Real Estate, you will experience the gold standard. Our network is your edge, where experience and expertise intersect with your real estate goals and dreams. We know and understand you want to sell at the right price with as few worries as possible. It's reassuring to know Century 21 Jack Ruddy Real Estate has been guiding clients down the golden path of selling for over 40 years. Century 21 Jack Ruddy Real Estate makes your dreams a reality by maximizing the exposure of your property here and around the nation, harvesting the power of the internet. We shepherd you through every step of the selling process from start to finish, from the marketing, the offer, the inspection, the contract, then the close. Great listeners, skilled negotiators, and focused on every detail so you achieve the highest level of service you deserve. Call Century 21 Jack Ruddy Real Estate at 344-6724. That's 344-6724, or visit www.jruddy.com, where they will work to champion your best interests all the way.
Welcome back to the Real Estate Roundtable with Century 21 Jack Ruddy Real Estate on 94.3 FM, The Talker. I'm Jackie Ruddy, in with my husband, fellow realtor, Pat Devaney.
Good morning, Jackie.
Good morning. And our guest, Mark Seitzinger, Director of Licensing, Inspections, and Permits, also Building Code Official for the City of Scranton.
Good morning.
Good morning. Before the break, we were talking about blight issues and the various blight issues that you come across. How about now we start talking about, I'd like to spend some time on condemned properties, condemnation process, that sort of thing.
Sure.
What can you tell me about that? How does a property become condemned?
Property can be condemned for a couple different reasons. Any unsafe, unhealthy situation in a property can constitute a condemnation, whether it be electrical, whether it be plumbing, mechanical. Depending on the severity of the situation, it can be condemned for those reasons. A property can also be condemned as being vacant and abandoned. And a lot of times what happens is with a condemnation for a vacant, abandoned property is that the blighting issue on the outside is what draws the attention to the abandoned property. So the grass isn't being cut, there's tires on the property, there's an abandoned car in the backyard, and there's nobody living there. So to eliminate some issues, we condemn the property and at that point notify, you know, utility companies to terminate services. So that way we don't run the risk of having a fire in a vacant property. So there are a couple different reasons as to how a property can be condemned.
Okay, so the owner gets the condemnation letter stating that you condemn the property. The notice is affixed on the window or on the door or wherever on the property to mm-hmm. notify. Okay, and no trespassing signs are posted, I'm sure, right?
Well, that's stated on the condemnation sign.
Okay, so how does one remove then that condemned status?
Okay, once a property is condemned, the property is required to be brought to the current codes that we follow, which would be the 2009 codes. So once the property is condemned, the easiest and quickest solution to find out what exactly is wrong and what needs to be done is to contact the office for an inspection. Have our department go through the property, do a write-up of the property as to what violations there are, what needs to be brought up to code, or what isn't up to code, so that way they can get their contractors, have a list of things that need to be done, and then pull the permits, obviously, with a licensed contractor, and then get the violations corrected. Once that's completed, then the property can go through a reinspection for the release from condemnation.
So if the property owner their problems get far worse after the condemnation. I mean, if they kept up the property, it would have been probably a lot less expensive than going through this condemnation because they have to bring now the whole property up to code.
Right. Well, they probably would have solved the problem if they maintained the property, we probably wouldn't have been there.
Right.
You know, so it festers from one thing to the next. You know, not maintaining the property draws the attention to the property. Had the property been maintained, it might not have been condemned at that point. So, you know, by not doing some simple things, it ends up costing you more money in the long run.
Sure.
You know, to release a property from condemnation. On top of that, when a property is condemned, we do have a condemned property policy that has to be followed.
Right.
So, with that being said, you have a property that's condemned, you know, or you're purchasing a property that's condemned. In order for you to even start the process of rehabilitating that structure, you need to place a cashier's check or bond up to the city treasurer to hold an escrow in case you walk away. You know, we use that money at that point if the property is dilapidated. We use that money to demo the property. It doesn't fall back on the city. It falls back on the new buyer or the owner. It kind of ensures the city that the property is going to be rehabilitated, and it ensures the owner that I'm going to get this done because I want my $10,000 back as well.
It's $10,000?
Single-family homes, 99% of the time, are anywhere between $5,000 to $10,000 in escrow that we require, and multi-dwellings are anywhere between $10,000 to $20,000, sometimes, you know, more than that.
Well, I was just doing a single-family that required $15,000.
There are some.
Okay. And what about multiple units?
Multiple units, same thing. The bond or cashier's check that would have to be placed would range anywhere between sometimes up to $25,000, $30,000.
Wow, okay.
You know, but once a property is released from condemnation, that money does go back to the owner to rehabilitate or put back into the bank, whatever they want to do with it. That money is not held by the city forever. That money does go back to the homeowner.
It's in an escrow account, which is important to say because an escrow account isn't the city's general fund.
No.
Right. So it just sits there until they perform.
Yes. And then once we notify the treasurer that the property has been released from condemnation, then a check will be cut back to the property owner for the amount that they put in.
Well, oftentimes we do sell properties that are condemned. And so we have to let that buyer know exactly what they need to do. And oftentimes they call you or your department and sit down and do whatever they need to do. So they understand.
Yes.
You know, that And those are important points that we have to make here. Okay, so they rehabilitate the property and then everybody's happy.
Yes.
Okay. Tell me about demolition, please, then.
Demolition is the extension of condemnation, is the way I like to put it. It's the last resort. Property owner has either moved away, not taken care of the property. The property has been condemned for some time. It's dilapidated, it's falling down, or it's just a blighting influence in the neighborhood. As we all know, it only takes one property in a neighborhood to bring down the neighborhood. So there are times when we have that one property that just needs to be removed. They've never done anything with it. They're not rehabilitating it. Demolitions aren't as quick as people like them to be because there are federal regulations that we do have to follow. All of our funding for demolition comes through HUD. So it's a federally based program. So our money, you know, and what we use it for has to follow their regulations.
Sure.
So there's checklists that we have to check off on, whether they're in floodplains. Is it in a low to moderate income neighborhood? Is it, you know, different types of situations bring different types of things happen for us. So demolition last resort, once it's demolished, you know, the property's leveled, it's still in that property owner's hands, though. The city, you know, the misconception a lot of people make is that the city of Scranton owns the condemned property or owns the demoed property, and that is not the case. It's still in whoever holds the deed or the mortgage holder. It's in their hands. It's not the city's property, you know, to sell or anything. It's up to the landowner to do that. But the lien will be placed on the property for the demolition cost at the end of the demolition. So there is a municipal lien placed onto it.
Okay. So how many properties this year are on the demo list?
A lot. Yeah. We have a lot. We just did probably 10 on the last bid that we did. We do some in-house with our DPW crew. We do more bid outs. We have another set going out. So right now, I'd probably say we've done anywhere between 20 to 30 this year already.
Wow.
So we're moving forward. I mean, there's a lot of them in the city. There's a lot of condemnations in the city. Housing stock is probably for 120,000, we only have 70,000. So there's a lot of houses out there that are vacant and abandoned and aren't being maintained, or the homeowner has unfortunately passed on and they don't have any family to take care of the property. You know, those are the ones that were the most severe ones are the ones we're trying to get to first.
If you're just tuning in, you're listening to the Real Estate Roundtable with Century 21 Jack Ready Real Estate on 94.3 FM, The Talker. And here today, we're talking with Mark Seitzinger, Director of Licensing, Inspections, and Permits, and also the Building Code Official for the City of Scranton. And right now, we're talking about demolishing properties, demolition and demo of properties, and how we get to that point. So you have a number of how many properties you're that's on the list now, or no?
No.
No.
It's
quite a few.
Yeah, it accumulates on a daily basis pretty much. Tom Oleski, who's the deputy director of our department, handles all the demolitions for us, setting them up, doing the paperwork, you know, from beginning to end, notifying owners, banks, mortgage holders, you name it, we've got to notify everybody. So he does all that for us in our department. He also handles, you know, the condemnations for us as well. So without him, I don't know what I would do, but he handles the demolitions from beginning to end. And it's a daunting task, but right now we've probably done anywhere between 20 to 30 this year so far.
How long from the condemned status to the demolition status does it usually take?
That depends on the severity of the problem. If it's a structural issue with the property, obviously that's going to move forward on the list.
Okay.
If it's something that is, you know, vacant, abandoned, and there's nothing structurally wrong, that's not so severe. It's not going to be bumped up as high. Fire structures are normally bumped up higher on the list to remove that potential hazard from the neighborhood. So if the property went through a fire, it's probably going to be removed faster than the house that's been vacant for 2 years.
Right.
You know, so that it depends on the situation.
Okay, gotcha.
So if I know of a house that's in really bad shape, I should call and report it?
Yes, absolutely. Contact our department, 570-348-4193, and let us know what the property is.
So you have a few you want to nominate?
Yeah, well, I was trying to sell a house on a court, and the house across the street was vacant and dilapidated and leaning to one side, and it just totally killed the sale. I mean, nobody wanted to even look at it because they had this thing across the street.
Mm-hmm.
Let us know. We'll come out there and we'll do what we can do to try to rectify it. I mean, that's the best we can do. But without knowing what the property is, it makes it difficult for us. So any information that we can get from citizens, realtors, anybody, please let us know.
Okay. And how often, how many times have you seen where you've been on the demolition list and they come off for some reason or another?
There have been some. It doesn't happen as much as people think it does. We've had properties that have been on the list that have been recently purchased that, you know, we end up having to go into litigation for, or they come in and they say, look, we're going to post our bond. We want to rehabilitate this structure. You know, so we've had those situations happen to us before. And the ultimate goal is to make sure that the property itself is either maintained or removed. If they're going to maintain the property and rehabilitate that property to make it safe and bring it to the current codes, I can be assured through my department and my inspections that the neighbors are safe. If we can't get somebody to rehabilitate the structure, then obviously the end result is demolition, and then you have a vacant lot in your neighborhood.
Okay. Wasn't there a movie where someone tied themselves to something along the way? I mean, that's what I'm thinking. Did you ever come across the person that ties himself to the house so the wrecking ball doesn't come through the...
I remember seeing that. I think it was Father of the Bride Part 2.
Okay.
When he stood on the front porch until he wrote the check. But, you know, we've had a couple situations where we've had some owners or relatives of properties that really didn't want it to go, that, you know, fought us tooth and nail.
Sure.
On it, but at the end
at
of the day,
end, it was down.
We did our thing.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes the police department has to help us out.
Yeah,
so,
okay.
Unfortunately.
What does it usually cost to knock down a single family home?
It all depends on what the tipping fees are, and the tipping fees are the landfill fees. So
oh,
it all
landfill.
Comes down to
okay.
the landfill. Depends on how much load is in the house, whether the house was empty, was it down to the studs, or was it, you know, like an episode of Hoarders where everything was in the house. So it all comes down to how much
it weighs,
know, tonnage it goes into the landfill.
I wouldn't have known that.
Do they cut you a deal because you do so many demolitions
no.
in a year?
No.
You get frequent flyer miles or something.
No,
up there.
We do a lot though.
I know. Well, thank you so much, Mark. Mark Seitzinger, Director of Licensing, Inspections and Permits and Building Code Official from the City of Scranton. How does someone get in touch with your office if they have a question regarding any of these items?
They can contact our office at 570-348-4193, or they can check us out on the web at scrantonpa.gov. Click on the licensing page, click contact us. There's an email address there. They can contact us through there as well.
Yeah, it's a great website. Lots of information. I pulled a lot of my information from that website. So thank you so much again.
You're welcome.
For coming in with us. Before we close, we'll review a listing, Pat.
Sure. We have a nice house, a beautiful house listed at 407 Butler Street in Dunmore. This is 3 bedrooms, 2 baths, listed for $159.9. It has loads of updates throughout, a beautiful tiled floor in the kitchen. The kitchen leads to a deck, the patio and the pool, hardwood floors in the living room and the dining room. The formal dining room could be another bedroom. The third bedroom on the second floor is a walkthrough. The master bedroom has a walk-in closet, has a new gas furnace, new wall-to-wall on the second floor, awnings included, many built-ins throughout. Central air, skylights, shed, fence. This house has a lot of amenities. That's 407 Butler Street in Dunmore. 3 bedrooms, 2 baths for $159.9.
Thank you, Pat. And our tip today, make an extra loan payment. If you have a mortgage or auto loan, each extra payment you make reduces the life of the loan and the amount you pay in interest. Either pay a little extra a month and apply it to the principal, or make an extra payment annually. Overall, you'll end up paying less than if you hadn't made an extra payment. We're out of time. We thank you for listening to the Real Estate Roundtable with Century 21 Jack Ready Real Estate on 94.3 FM, The Talker. If you have any real estate questions during the week,
feel free to email us at questions@jruddy.com. That's questions@jruddy.com, or call us toll free at 888-399-5225. That's 888-399-JACK.
You can view our listings or search the MLS by going to jruddy.com, jruddy.com. Thank you for joining us, and have a sensational weekend.
All Century 21 real estate offices are independently owned and operated.
The opinions expressed in this show are the views of the host and not necessarily that of WTRW, 94.3 The Talker, or the Bold Gold Media Group.
Hi, this is Jackie Ruddy from Century 21 Jack Ruddy Real Estate. Is real estate on your mind? It's on ours 24/7. Whether you're buying, selling, investing, or in need of an appraisal, you have questions, we have answers.
Thinking of buying or selling a house and have questions? Tune in to the Real Estate Roundtable, hosted by locally owned and operated Century 21 Jack Ready Real Estate on Saturday mornings at 11 and Sunday mornings at 11:30.